So Jason, I believe I discovered your work from Twitter. You had a Twitter thread about the history of concrete, I believe. What originally got you interested in the history of how things are made?
Well, I got interested in about 4 years ago in just sort of like the history of progress and industrial civilization, the Industrial Revolution, but really everything that has happened since. If you look around, the modern world is really kind of amazing, and it's so easy to take it for granted. But even simple things like clean running water coming out of the tap, or a refrigerator with fresh food in it, or a hot shower, or being able to get to work by train or car, all these things are just things that people didn't have a couple hundred years ago. So I started thinking, I want to learn, where did all this stuff come from? How did we create the modern world?
Yeah. And where did you start your research there? What books or sources do you find as being, I guess, the original inspiration, that started getting you down this path of digging deeper?
Well, I started trying to find a book that would just sort of cover this, and so I picked up a book called something like A Brief History of How the Industrial Revolution Changed the World. And I read it, and it was interesting and yet sort of unsatisfying. I felt that it had picked a bunch of random stories. I didn't really know the significance of the stories that I'd been told, or why those ones were chosen, or really what it all added up to. The Industrial Revolution, or the Industrial Age, is an enormous topic, and it's very difficult to do it justice in a single book, which is what I'm going to try to do. So then I just started going deeper. So I would pick up a book on the history of concrete. That's what led to the Twitter thread that you mentioned, which is like my most popular Twitter thread ever. Or I would read about steel or cotton or the railroads or antibiotics, or all sorts of things like that.
I had recently read a book on the history of paper, and it surprised me both how much detail there was there, how many things that just we take for granted, and that you can just get a piece of A4 paper out of your printer, and it's a commodity now, and yet that wasn't a commodity for much of human history. And how the ideas that go into paper even go into, say, nori seaweed that you use to wrap sushi. And I love the interconnectedness of that, of how sort of these little inventions start a chain reaction almost, that ends up with what nowadays we take for granted.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that might have been a Mark Kurlansky book. He's done a few of these now, taking just sort of like one commodity. I think he did the one on sand as well, and just like really going
Okay,
deep on it.
yeah. So what was the idea behind writing the book, The Story of the Industrial Civilization? Basically, you're trying to write the book you wanted to read and couldn't find?
Exactly. Yeah, I would say there's two big things with it. So one, it's just going to be a story of discovery and invention, right? I'm an engineer by training, so before I quit my job to become a writer, I was in the tech world, like doing software startups. So I come at all these things with an engineering mindset. A lot of history of technology, like books, they kind of go a lot into the human drama, which is all well and good, but what I really want to understand is like, what was the problem? And what was the real like key insight or that actually solved it, right? And these things get really fascinating, and I think that with care they can be easily explained and made accessible to a general audience, right? Not like a specialist audience. But then the other big motivation is sort of like there's actually a lot of debate and kind of controversy around industrial civilization and even this very concept of progress. But if you step back and you look, like, we've actually made more progress in science, technology, and living standards in the last 500 years than humanity had made in the previous 50,000 years. And, like, if you just look at what this has done for human life, health, happiness, our choices and freedoms in life, and our ability to kind of like pursue lives that make us happy, then you gotta say, look, that this transformation of the world over the last couple hundred years of the industrial age is really one of the greatest things ever to happen in all of human history, and it's really worth studying. And yet at the same time, people are like, if you just even to just point out the idea of progress, you get a lot of pushback. So what I really want to do with the last few chapters of the book, once we've taken a broad look at the story of how industrial civilization came to be, I want to look at, look, what does it mean? Like, is progress good? can it continue? You know, like, what should we do about it? How should we think about the future, right? What should this history teach us about the present and the future?
Which you've worked with Our World in Data, and that's a site that often feels very optimistic to me because it's easy to feel pessimistic about the future over the past year with the pandemic, with global warming, etc. But you look at a lot of the stats from Our World in Data, and you're able to look at a much different picture of look how far we've come, and maybe we can keep doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Our World in Data is they try to be realistic rather than maybe optimistic or pessimistic. Like, look, let's look at the data and get to the truth. But I think when you look at the data, you know, you have to be at least somewhat optimistic.
So today the model for writers tends to be either traditional publication as a book or often now the subscription model of publishing content online and newsletters. You're using an interesting path as you're doing a series of salons to explore the ideas around the book. What prompted you to begin the publication process in this manner?
Yeah, well, I'm doing the Salon series through the Interintellect, which is a new platform and community for hosting intellectual discussion groups. And actually, the founder of that, Anna Gott, approached me and said she wanted me to do something. And I said, I'd love to do something, but I got to focus on my book. So this is what we came up with. We said, how about we just do a series around the book? We'll do one discussion per chapter because I had the outline already. And I can just present my work in progress, and then we can have a discussion around it. And I thought, hey, first off, this is a great way to just, like, pace myself because it's going to force me to go through the book and give me a monthly deadline, which, you know, when you're working as by yourself as an author, it's kind of good to have regular deadlines. And then the other thing is it'll give me a test audience where I can try out the ideas, get feedback, see what's confusing, see what makes sense to people, what they're interested in. And I'll probably learn a lot, you know, and so this audience can really help me shape the book.
That's incredible. It's almost like getting proofreaders, but on a more interactive basis.
Yeah, it is like a test audience. Like, you know, when they do movies, right, don't they play them before test audiences to kind of see how it's going to go?
Sure,
like,
yeah.
I think authors right. should probably do that. And, you know, I mean, some of the most successful authors are the ones who have been giving talks on a certain topic, or they have a blog or a Twitter following. Like, they've been – the book is not the very first time they've ever communicated about the topic, right? Like, they have actually a long history of years of communicating about a topic before the book comes out. So I'm just doing more of that.
If anything, the difficult thing is once it's in print, you're done. You can't exactly update it without doing a full new edition. And this gives you the space to explore those ideas and get there, get something that's, I guess, a much better marker in time that you're certain on this is the great thing to publish. Which, do you have a deadline for publishing right now?
I don't, but I have estimated that writing the book, including all the research, will take me about 2 years, so that's roughly what I'm aiming for.
So we'll look forward to seeing more on Twitter as you get closer to publication then.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.